Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Shake Them Ropes, the first episode of 2026. And if it's not, do not correct me, Jeff, because I'm going with the first episode of 2026. Jeff Hawkins is here. Rob McCarron is here. We are going to go heavy, heavy, heavy in our preview for next week's AMC debut of TNA Impact.
And with no Jake something. Yeah.
With no Jake something. Oh my God. Let's talk about the newest signing to AEW. Well, there's two really, and maybe more to come. But Jake Doyle, debuted last night on Dynamite. So glad I'm sure that not Jack Doyle. This is going to be what's hard for me, Jeff.
Okay.
As an Indianapolis Colts viewer, we used to have a guy, a tight end named Jack Doyle.
Yes.
And this was Andrew Luck's baby. This was Andrew Luck's favorite target. Luck to Doyle, Jack Doyle. And now I have to talk about Jake Doyle, and it's going to be very hard that I don't call him Jack at least 15 times in this episode, because I'm just going back to my mid-2010s Indianapolis Colts days. But Jake Doyle, the former Jake something from TNA and multiple other places, is in AEW. And of course, Andrade El Idolo has debuted for literally the fifth time in the last 4 years.
They should call him something Jake Doyle and then rename Mark Davis like Mark also something. Or something like that. They look like twins. So, I mean, why not just do that?
Well, no, I mean, I don't know if it's perfect that they're teaming or if it's terrible that they're teaming, because they do look very much alike. They have very similar body types, very similar facial hair and facial features. They're very similar. But I am all about, much more than when Alexander debuted, much more than some of these other debuts that have happened. I actually think Jake Doyle in the next 3 years could be a big, big piece in AEW. I do. I actually do.
I don't know.
So here's the thing. I'm going to admit, I don't know a lot about Jake Doyle, the former Jake something, other than the fact that that name was terrible. And I'm so glad it's not the name anymore.
Jake something.
It was just absolutely ridiculous. So I'm glad they didn't keep that. I mean, thankfully Tony Khan sometimes is a little ridiculous, but even he was like, this is too much for me. So yeah, Jake Doyle is here. But just look alone, the intensity, this is a guy that can go in there and, you know, everything that they gave to Rusev and all the main events and different things that Rusev was in when he was in AEW, as Miro. I think Jake Doyle can take that to the next level in that similar type of role. As long as he gets away at some point from this Don Callis family, because no one's going to get over in this family, and they're trying their damnedest to make sure Takeshita continues to not get over because he's just buried down within all these 10 plus members.
Speaking of which, we went on a bit of a mini break, which is kind of the first in the history of this show, because usually I'd usually record stuff to release during the holidays or whatever.
I cannot believe it was like 600 straight episodes a week we had done, and then we broke the streak this past couple of weeks.
But while we were gone, I think everybody kind of lost their minds in the front offices of wrestling things. And this is where this comes in, because it starts with Thea Hale in NXT inadvertently winning the North American women's title there.
What a fever dream that was, huh?
We go to World's End. And instead of telling any interesting story with any of the three members of the Callis family, which is where I get onto that, because any three of those who win are a far more interesting story than us absolutely retconning the Jon Moxley story into the Grinch who now loves AEW and his heart grew three sizes that day after winning the Continental Classic. And then within the main roster, we have all sorts of title changes and whatnot, as if everybody was like cramming for a test and we forgot what the end point was. We're doing random, we have like Obafemi beat Ricky Saints for the title 2 weeks ago, and now he just leaves in the middle of the ring at the end of NXT. It ends with that, but we've changed all of our mid-card women's titles in WWE. We've knocked out Stephanie Vaquer, kind of, for an injury angle. We've changed the tag titles on Raw. We've changed the Ilya Dragunov belt on SmackDown. What does it feel like? People are just going, oh, we just have to do stuff to do stuff? Or does this actually just, feels like we've all kind of gone, oh man, forgot to do this, and now it's Rumble season, or in AEW's case, I know this doesn't make sense, but you know what? This feels like a Jon Moxley redemption story after he said the loss of his title didn't matter and all these other things. It's ridiculous. There's a lot of ridiculousness going on, Rob, is what I'm trying to say here.
I think it's more ridiculous, even though there's more title changes on the WWE side, it is more ridiculous on the AEW side because, Jon Moxley, obviously this is a babyface turn and he's going to be the hero. He's getting the crowd cheering. This is actually the most excited I've been about a Jon Moxley program in a while, is it looks like they're actually they're using him to what the crowd wants Jon Moxley to be used for. Like, this is their hero. This is the guy that came in from basically day one and is the top guy in that company. And they want him to be the top guy in that company. And he can be in a lot of different ways. So the crowd's been waiting for this version of Jon Moxley. I'm not going to say anything bad about what's going on with this current Jon Moxley, other than every week just coming out and basically doing open challenges for the chance to get this Continental Championship, which should not exist. And it's ridiculous that there's so many men's championships. But what they've been waiting for this for a year and a half, 2 years, because the last year of Jon Moxley in AEW has been terrible. So I'm glad they're getting away from that. That's why I'm going to be positive there. But on the WWE side, I mean, you got to take away the Blake Monroe title loss, because Blake Monroe wasn't supposed to have that title loss, right? Thea Hale wins it, and then they got to reposition, because they don't have long-term plans for Thea Hale to be the women's singles champion right now, and they want to go a different direction. Maybe she'll stay in the mix. Maybe she'll be...
No, they just hot-shot it to Izzy Dame on Tuesday. Yeah.
Okay, well, this is the title now that doesn't have a firm direction, because Blake Monroe lost it. Now she's going to come up to the main roster amongst many other NXT stars, it seems, coming up very soon in the next month.
Yes.
As you're repositioning the SmackDown going to 3 hours, repositioning all these rosters heading into WrestleMania, getting some of these folks some TV time before they're going to be, you know, basically put into top programs after WrestleMania when you have some of the irregulars going away. I don't count Becky Lynch, this is not just, hey, what do we do? Let's do some title changes to do some title changes. This was a clear plan. They wanted to get Maxine over as someone who's legit. Becky Lynch wanted to have a little bit of adversity there. Now she has her title back. And now a real challenger comes along, which I think everyone assumes is going to be AJ Lee heading into WrestleMania. So those two are not just throwing something to the wall and seeing what sticks. The tag team titles, if you're going to put the Usos back, you might as well have an actual tag team in the Usos be the tag team champions. AJ Styles is moving along to his singles program with Gunther and maybe a singles run the rest of the year. So get the tag team titles off of him. Usos New Day, maybe there's something going on with there. No, that's not a title win to just change the title. That's positioning going into WrestleMania with the Usos.
Okay, so basically it's just me seeing all these things happening.
It's
and
you
it's
being
just
a
coincidence.
Curmudgeon.
No, it's you being I'm a really not. I'm really not trying to be a curmudgeon here. It was just one of those things where I'm just like, wow, they're doing a lot right now, and it feels like it was almost like, oh, we put all this on the back burner, yeah, and now we got to do them all of a sudden.
No, it just get everything positioned into WrestleMania. Now that the dust has settled over John Cena's last match, John Cena's gone. Get everyone positioned to where they need to be heading in here, because you're about to get Roman back. You're about to get Brock back. You're about to get, there's still some unsettledness in the main title pictures heading into WrestleMania right now. They got 3 months to show us kind of what the card for WrestleMania is going to be. I think a lot of people assume it's going to be like a CM Punk Roman, maybe. Maybe a Cody and Gunther, maybe a Cody. Where do you kind of see Cody going on? Because he's in this program with Drew McIntyre right now. They just finished the three stages of hell, or they have the three stages of hell coming up.
Right.
Is Cody going the Roman Reigns route? Is he going the Brock Lesnar route? Is he going the Gunther route? Is he going to the Obafemi route as Obafemi comes along after departing with the NXT championship? So where does Cody Rhodes go from here? There's a lot of unanswered questions, and it really can shake up here as we head into Royal Rumble.
It feels like Roman to me again. And
Cody Roman 3, huh?
Unless Roman wins it before then, and it becomes, I mean, who else would you put it on at this? I mean, who else would you put in there with him? Because Drew is the hottest program for Cody because they talk a lot, but they're doing three stages of hell.
Yeah, well, I think it ends. I don't see Drew McIntyre winning the championship.
Right.
And going into a WrestleMania. Maybe Cody wins it back. There's still an Elimination Chamber happening in Canada. There's still other events, Saturday Night's Main Event, before WrestleMania. So he can, in theory, lose it and then win it back.
Yeah.
But I do see Cody Rhodes defending the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. I see CM Punk defending the championship at WrestleMania. I think CM Punk Roman Reigns is a very interesting way to go. Because especially Seth Rollins, if he comes back before Mania, he's probably going after Bron Breakker, I would assume.
I mean, and Brock Cody is interesting. I'm just trying to figure out a way to get there, but you can. I'm also just this is an aside, that entire women's division, all of the main players are kind of, it's a mystery, to be honest with you, where they go, except for Bianca and Jade, I think. That's the only thing really set in stone, because you have Io and Rhea as the tag champs. You have Charlotte and Alexa kind of in that periphery. You have Lyra and Bayley and Asuka and the people you could use there in there. Well, and then you have whatever they're going to do with, I mean, Becky and AJ seem set in stone.
I feel like Becky and AJ, and honestly, Becky and AJ is probably your premier singles women's match at WrestleMania.
And
like
I think Liv is in the upper tier too in terms of what's going to happen.
Liv is going to go after Stephanie Vaquer. Like that's your upcoming program. You have Liv and Stephanie Vaquer. You have Jade and Bianca Belair. But then we talked about this a few weeks ago, is that the tag team division on the women's side is the premier women's program right now.
Yeah.
With Rhea, Io, and then the Kabuki Warriors. So are they going to go back and forth for the next several months? Yeah, you had the title change. I think the time had been coming for that. You were building up for that. So it's another one that's not just a hot shot angle. I mean, that was basically a few months in the making.
And then we're just going to hold off that feud for that final win till next year then, probably, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because honestly, the January 5th Netflix Raw was built up like a pay-per-view, was built up like a premium live event. And they still have a month before Royal Rumble. You have the Saturday Night's Main Event, which I don't think we have any matches on Saturday Night's Main Event yet. as of yet, but I'm sure we'll have maybe a CM Punk title defense on that show. There's a lot of different ways you can go. Maybe there's no title defense on that show outside of maybe the United States Championship or the Intercontinental Championship, and no world title match on that one. But yeah, we have a lot of events here before WrestleMania. There's a lot of different things. You're going to have Obafemi come up. You're going to have Trick Williams now in the main picture, Javon Evans, Blake Monroe, Lola Vice, JC Jane, a few other names that are on their way up, Jordan Grace. There's a lot of different variables that could be happening here as we head into Royal Rumble. But the Royal Rumble is going to feel like NXT versus WWE all over again, right? Because in each of these matches, we're probably going to have at least five NXTers on both the women's and men's side.
Probably, yeah.
Are you hyped for the Royal Rumble up this month? Because January gets me all the time. It's like, oh, it's Royal Rumble month. It's my favorite pay-per-view. It's my favorite PLE. But just something seems a little bit weird with this one, with it being not just outside of the United States, but it's also going to be on at what, 1 or 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Because it's out there in Saudi Arabia. It's going to feel like a weird one for me. I don't feel like this is the kickoff to WrestleMania this year. How are you feeling so far as we're a few weeks out still from Royal Rumble?
We're a few weeks out, but I get the feeling we're going to know who's winning both.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, this feels like one of those things where they tip their hand.
Ooh.
A little bit.
Okay.
Going in, and it's not going to be a huge shock, and you're going to go, oh, okay. Yeah. Like, I could see Drew winning that Three Stages of Hell match and then Cody winning the Rumble.
Really?
I really could.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, it all depends, too, if maybe Roman Reigns is in the title match at Royal Rumble.
Like, that
do you,
too.
Do you see CM Punk versus Roman Reigns at the show? Because you know you're going to get a big one. I can also see CM Punk Logan Paul possibly happening there at the Royal Rumble.
I don't, because even though Paul just signed a full-time deal, I think he's already kind of ascended to that world title match, and I don't see them putting him in there again. I could see him like in one like these multi-person matches with the Vision or whatever.
Yeah.
Or as they teased at what was it, Saturday Night's Main Event or one of these other, I forget which one it was. Maybe it was the pay-per-view. The Brock Lesnar Logan Paul blow off finally. Oh, it was after War Games. That's what it was. Where Logan was saying how he saved Brock Lesnar. I could see that being a match at Mania.
Okay. Yeah, whatever they do with the Vision, if the Vision is still going to be involved with Brock, like, you're just banking on the what is Paul Heyman thinking of
right.
this kind of angle.
Right,
and
yeah.
I don't think we need to do that anymore with Brock Lesnar. We've done it the last couple of shows that Brock has been on. It's like, what positioning does he have with Paul Heyman? Maybe let's just focus on Brock and not so much his bromance with Paul Heyman.
Right. Does Seth get back in time for Mania?
I think he gets back in time for Mania to do something. I don't know if he's going to wrestle on the show, but I do think he gets back. He was there at Raw in New York this week.
And the other question is Austin Theory improving his position within this stable, or is it still just all Braun and Logan for the most part?
The only way Austin Theory gets a match at WrestleMania is if it is going to be like a trios match. With
yeah, that's what
members.
I'm thinking. Yeah.
That's the only way he gets on it, because at this point you can't put Austin Theory out there in a singles match and expect anyone to care.
Yeah, I'm a little baffled by this presentation, to be honest with you.
I don't know why, if you were going to, I don't know if they're rehabbing Austin Theory or they're just trying to get him involved with Paul Heyman and some of these guys to maybe spark something in him.
Yes.
I don't know why.
If you're that's exactly it to me.
It has to be, because the other thing doesn't make sense, because why would you put him in a group of three other individuals who are much more hyped than he is, who are breaking out, and expect him to go in there and be like, okay, we're really strapping the rocket to you now, Austin Theory, with this repackage. We're going to put you behind Bron Breakker and Logan Paul.
And I think that's just it. I think it was probably pitched like a dangerous alliance where there is no real weakness. They're a stable type of a thing, but in WWE there's always the hierarchy, and
a hierarchy in these groups. Mm-hmm. Which is one of the interesting things when Seth Rollins was the leader of this, because I mean Bron Breakker was already on that apex to try and get mm-hmm. up there, and they eventually had to do it because of the injury, Bron Breakker, you know, taking out Seth Rollins, but Yeah, Bron Breakker had a really good, strong performance there on Raw, didn't he? I thought that match was pretty good, and Bron Breakker at times really felt like he might take it out.
Yeah, I think CM Punk may have been the weak link in that match a little bit, but that's more age.
The story of CM Punk in wrestling is that he's the weaker man in the ring always.
Yes.
Like, there's no, I mean, unless he's facing the Ryback, there's no one that he's getting in the ring with where he's the better wrestler.
Right. That's true. I still enjoy his match. I enjoy his matches for that, though. That's
the
thing. I enjoy
the matches, too. Yeah. I don't think there's been a match since he came back to WWE that I have not been excited for and also thought was excellent television.
And I think it's him aging into the slightly not as athletic as he possibly thinks role. It's kind of
Sloppy. He's sloppy, yeah. But he grits it out. He finds ways to go in there. But no, I thought the performance was good. I thought CM Punk was fine.
I thought that whole Raw was really good, to be honest with you.
CM Punk one day is going to make an excellent Mickey Rourke character in The Wrestler, where he's going to be 50 years old and he looks like he's 65. And this is the one last run and he's gray hair. He's got he's not very groomed and the
bags under his eyes.
The bags under the eyes are back. Yeah. The bags under the eyes make him look 10 years older. He's got a lot of different interesting characters he can run up as he gets a little slower than he already is. Nothing against CM Punk, but yeah, the wrestling wise, it's always a fun gimmick when he's like the best in the world, because it is not in ring. That is for sure. And never has been. It's never been the biggest part of his game. Never been.
No, his mouth has been what's gotten him through, and he's awesome at that.
Yep. Where are they going? I know you're a big fan of Aunt Pam, and they got Bayley and Lyra doing this tag team division. They've gone away from the schizophrenia stuff. You know, Bayley still has her anger issues and turns on a dime, but
it's controlled by Lyra, though. Lyra's the one who goes, I need you to get angry. And it's almost a manipulative thing. But this entire thing, it was interesting because I thought eventually they'd break. Like, I could just see Charlotte in a singles match, but I don't think they should. I think it's going to be one of these multi-team things that continues.
Because they absolutely have right now with Lyra and Bayley, more so Bayley, is she can be a heel one week and a babyface the next.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of all part of the story too. It's, you know, just put her out there and she'll figure it out. We're not worried about the crowd cheering her, booing her, anything like that right now.
That team is on the lowest rung of this women's team. I mean, they are the sixth team in the 6-team division because Lash and Nia are still kind of above them, I think, too.
Lash is another one, you know, officially called up to the main roster there. So yeah, we got a lot of new talents coming in, which sometimes we see this after WrestleMania, not leading up to WrestleMania. So I think this year makes WWE going forward a little bit different than usual, because we're going to see how these new talents integrate.
Okay, question on one of them, because it's intriguing to me in a way, because it's Jordynne Grace again.
Okay.
And once she signed and went to NXT, she got lost. What's going to happen on the main roster? Is it going to be more of the same? Is she just going to be, you know, in there to eat losses over and over and over again on SmackDown? She's the new Meechan or whatever?
I mean, I hope not. Because I think that's a fresh face that's like, yeah, let's put her in there. I don't know. We're going to see where they slot her. I don't expect anything huge for the next 3 months. I don't see a Jordynne Grace program going into WrestleMania.
No.
But do they do something with Jade Cargill and, play off of the fact that both of them are muscle freaks? I don't know.
It feels like they may run back. If Blake's going up, they may run back the Blake Jordan feud just to give them something to do.
Which I wouldn't necessarily do that. I wouldn't bring two talents in. I wouldn't either. This is like, no one will get this reference, but this is like Jimmy Jacobs, Alex Shelley back in the day where they were going up against each other on the indies, but no one saw them because they were all lower level indies. And then their first match in ROH is just against each other. Why not? Because this is a match that people have seen. And it's like, is that what you're going to do with Blake Monroe and Jordynne Grace? Where it's like, yeah, these two have wrestled many times in many places and here they are wrestling. Hooray.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily do that, but I also don't know. Blake Monroe is one that, if she comes up to the main roster, she's probably not going to have a program for the first 2 months. I think you have to introduce what her character is all about.
Yeah, vignettes.
Beating jobbers. Vignettes, mm-hmm. Beating jobbers, And then maybe after WrestleMania, you figure out where she kind of stands and what she might be going for. So,
and then she'll be huge. She'll be huge with the vignettes and everything. Yeah.
I think she's one of all the talents coming up. I think she has the most potential to be big, and probably getting out of NXT is a godsend for her.
Yes, I would agree. I think guys will latch onto her really quick.
Yep. So if we get to my tabs here.
Okay.
Basically, I have a whole bunch of tabs. The first one I opened up, Mustafa Ali. Mustafa Ali re-signs with TNA Wrestling, so he's going to be in TNA for a good amount of time. He was actually one of those that I was interested to see if WWE might come calling to get him back.
Yeah.
With the TNA relationship going on, with the fact that he's made a couple of appearances, and with the fact that, he's done really good on the indies ever since leaving WWE, and you have to replenish NXT. Like, what's the CW show going to look like when you have half of your roster that just left? So Mustafa Ali back in TNA.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Look, we all have things going on in our lives that prevent us from being the best versions of ourselves. The new year doesn't require a whole new you, maybe just a better version of you that understands what's weighing you down and holding you back. Therapy can help to give an unbiased perspective and help identify what's holding you back and what's weighing you down and better understand all of your relationships, motivations, and emotions. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the United States. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is one of the world's largest online therapy platforms, having served over 5 million people globally, and it works. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
From walking barefoot in the snow to hiking for miles for a view, it feels good to connect with our simpler side. Simplifying your wellness with Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake feels good too. With 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and more. No fillers, no nonsense, just the highest quality ingredients. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st when they go to Kachava, KACHAVA.com, and use code NEWS.
I think that's the right call for him, though. Unless AEW was going to sign him, and which was the rumor when he was first cut, was that Tony Khan was really high on Mustafa Ali. The problem with going back to a place that already fired you is, unless they're going to automatically reposition you higher than you were, there's no real use in taking you back there. And sure. I think he could be one of those guys in this partnership if he feels like doing this, where he comes in and is consistently on NXT as a heel who's in TNA. You know what I'm saying? Because it's one of those things where, like, I know they had plans for him when he was originally released, but short of that, I would kind of use that bitterness a little bit if we're going to rebuild into a TNA, AEW type, or not AEW, TNA, NXT type of situation. Where he's the one guy who got to keep his name when he left, too. So it's like, I really like Mustafa Ali. I think he's good for those, you know, he's great with those Carmelo Hayes types, you know, the Leon Slaters, the small. I mean, we saw it with Buddy Murphy, Buddy Matthews, whatever you want to call him, all the time on that underappreciated 205 live show. I love this character, and I love his stable right now in TNA. I think he's where he needs to be honest with you.
Yeah, and of course, TNA is in that position where they are starting to deal with AMC, and you need somebody. High talents. You need positive talents going into a relationship like that. So, yes, Mustafa Ali back in TNA going forward. I saw a lot of people commenting with all these call-ups that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they forget about Ethan Page? Why did they forget about Ricky Saints? Why aren't those two headed up to the main roster? And Ethan Page screams to me, we've talked about this with talents before. Ethan Page screams to me that they signed him to be an NXT lifer. Like, the only chance he's going to Raw or SmackDown is if something clicks that they are not expecting and that maybe doesn't even get written. But I see Ethan Page being a lifer in NXT. He's there to be a solid guy on the CW network.
I think Ethan Page is going to be in WWE probably for 10 to 15 more years because he is so good in terms of personality and stuff like that, that you don't need to rush him. You can do vignettes with Chelsea Green and that crew. Well, you certainly wouldn't be
rushing him. If he's in NXT until he's 50 years old, you wouldn't be rushing him.
No, you won't. But I mean, he's not just an NXT anchor. He's also there to help anchor the AAA stuff with the mixed tag thing. And he can be, it was AAA, right? Not CML.
Yeah,
doing that whole game. Like, him and Chelsea Green are absolute money. And that's an act you don't want to necessarily overexpose over and over again either. If he's getting paid and they throw more money at him to be the anchor of NXT, he will survive anywhere because he has the gift of gab. He has nice size and he can wrestle well. He is the king of his domain. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I don't see him being a guy that people are going to pay money to see.
No, he's going to be that kind of mid-card heel always. It's not going to be
perfectly fine too. Perfectly fine.
He can replace the Miz if they ever get rid of the Miz.
And Ricky Saints hasn't, for lack of a better term, developed enough. Like, he's the same guy right now that he was when he started on television with WWE. He's the same guy he was when he started on television with AEW. So build a little bit of dimension to the character there. Build a little bit of dimension to what Ricky Saints can present in the main roster. And also, you got to have some guys to be called up later in the year, next Royal Rumble season, next WrestleMania season. You can't just call everyone up at once or else everyone has a death sentence.
I don't think Ricky Saints has a lot of upper mobility on the main roster.
Well, I don't
mostly
either.
Mostly because of his size. That's nothing against him. He can't necessarily help that, but it's one of those things, kind of like when you watched Adam Cole get in the ring for the first time with MJF and you just go, wow, he's really small. Yeah. That's what's going to happen with Ricky Saints.
Yeah, MJF ain't the biggest guy in the world either.
Right.
Very well could. Close the book on the TNA AMC premiere. It is next week, January 15th. Mike Santana, Frankie Kazarian for the world title. I got to figure that Santana's winning the belt that night to really kick off this partnership. Santana wins back the world title. And Leon Slater against Myron Reed for the X Division Championship. So you got some title matches going up there. Will you, Jeff Hawkins, be watching AMC's debut of TNA Wrestling?
Probably not. But I might catch it on a replay. Maybe not live, though.
Yeah, maybe watch the moments on TikTok, mm-hmm. Instagram Reels,
YouTube,
X, formerly Twitter, YouTube. Catch all the highlights of what's been going on, which honestly is the way that I've been consuming a lot of SmackDown and a lot of NXT, is just waiting for the clips to show up in shorts form and get through it that way. Chris Jericho did not debut with WWE on Raw this week. There were a lot of rumors swirling. Adam Pearce knew exactly what he was doing when he kind of teased Chris Jericho in his Raw preview saying who will break the walls down, but we did not get Chris Jericho. And as of this moment, ChatGPT gives Chris Jericho debuting in WWE this year only a 40% chance likelihood that it happens. Jeff, Chris Jericho not showing up on Raw, did it surprise you? And do you expect to see him this month in WWE?
It didn't surprise me.
Because nothing does, because you're a curmudgeon.
No. it's one of those things where I expect him to show up, but I don't know when. And it's going to be at a big moment, not necessarily the Stranger Things crossover episode.
I think it's going to be a very small moment. I think he debuts as the Luther to Mariah May, and he is just the butler.
Are you just doing a bit?
I may be doing a bit.
He's debuting at the Rumble. What are you talking about?
You got to have some of those big moments. It's the Saudi Arabia Royal Rumble. There are going to be some. I honestly think there's as good a chance that Goldberg is in this Rumble.
Yes. Get paid. There's money in it. Somebody's getting paid.
Why not? Let's give Goldberg the second chance to end the career. I do not expect John Cena. I take John Cena's word. He is done.
Now, here's the question. Does Jericho have a new character, or is he going to bring back one of his old incarnations? Like, are we getting, like, Light Bright Jacket Jericho? Are we getting...
No, I...
Anton Chigurh Jericho, that he thought was Anton Chigurh?
I think maybe a little bit. Now, we haven't fully seen the Judas Chris Jericho in WWE. Would fans rock out to Judas like they were in AEW? Would they want to make that happen?
We're getting the Painmaker. We're getting the Painmaker, aren't we?
We better not get that. We're not getting the Painmaker. I can't believe for a guy that has pretty good history for the business.
Yes.
And also how he ever thought that was good that he should keep doing that. Yeah. Is ridiculous. But the Y2J theme is so iconic that I think you have to stick with that. I don't think you bring in a Chris Jericho Fozzy song.
Right.
I find it very interesting if he debuts at the end of January in the Rumble, because he basically is going to take the entire month of February off because he's on tour overseas. So like timing wise, I don't know if it works out perfectly. Is he going into the main event scene? I can't see that right now, because we talked about how many different directions they could go with CM Punk and Cody Rhodes. Chris Jericho doesn't fit in any of those. So
Gunther.
Where would he fit?
Gunther.
He could fit. Well, we've talked about this.
Yes.
The Gunther storyline continues. He is the new legend killer. It's going to happen with Randy Orton. Like, literally, he's going from AJ to maybe Jericho. And then at some point, he's got to go to Orton. And Orton's the one. Orton's the one who will beat Gunther to continue his reign in WWE, because Gunther doesn't need to beat Randy Orton maybe right away, maybe at some point down the road. But the legend killer gimmick for Gunther is in full tact, but I don't want to digress too far away from Chris Jericho. I think it's going to be a mix of previous Chris Jericho with maybe a new version of Chris Jericho. I can see him being the businessman, the Lane Kiffin of pro wrestling, where he just goes for a higher paying job. I think there's some different ways that you can go with Chris Jericho as the savvy old businessman who maybe only wrestles once every 3 months, similar to what CM Punk has been doing.
Possibility, give me a percentage here, that he re-debuts with Kevin Owens in tow.
I don't think we're seeing Kevin Owens on TV this year.
Okay.
I mean, if you're not going to be able to come back until WrestleMania, what is this one? WrestleMania 42?
Yes.
This year?
Yes.
If you're not coming back to 43 at the least, and even that seems like a far stretch, I don't know why you'd bring him back on TV. Yeah, he's great television, but what is he going to do? Commentary?
Mm-hmm.
And a neck injury rehab? If you're WWE, you're not letting him stand in a ring.
True.
I don't care if he's going to be physical or not. You're not letting him stand in a ring during active rehab of a neck injury. So I don't expect to see him on TV outside of, you know, the in the crowd shots, maybe an interview here or there for some other program. Maybe if we haven't even talked about Sami Zayn, because Sami Zayn be getting a Royal Rumble title match. Those are the only things I see Kevin Owens doing. He is not coming back to be a partner with Chris Jericho on screen.
Okay.
At least not this year.
Maybe he introduces Chris Jericho in some way.
No.
Okay.
No, because then you're just going back to the List program and everyone's going to want to see the List. And I don't think you bring back Chris Jericho to be doing the List Chris Jericho.
Okay. Next.
I really put you in your place there, didn't I?
Yes, I feel sussed.
I was fired up. You want to bring back KO and List Chris Jericho?
No, I don't want to bring back. No, I don't want to bring back KO and List. And I don't want to bring back Y2AJ with the 1 week shirts for Mania type thing.
I thought it was hilarious that a lot of the aggregators this week have gone with, still on the Chris Jericho front. Tony Khan was asked by various radio voices. I actually forget which interview I saw with him. Was it Ariel Helwani? I don't know who it was. But Tony Khan was asked about Chris Jericho, about is Chris Jericho coming back to AEW?
We'd love to have him back.
Well, he didn't even say that. We'd love to have him back. He said, Chris Jericho's been a big part of AEW history, and he'll always be a big part of AEW history. He was intimating either that it's past tense, or Chris Jericho is always going to be with us. Always.
Right.
Like, there's no in between. So either he has a 10-year contract or he has no contract. It's not like he has a year left. Mm-hmm. But he didn't say, yeah, he's coming back. He didn't say we'd love to have him back. He didn't say any of this. It was strictly, you know, I love Chris Jericho and he'll always be a big part of us. And you can read that a number of different ways, but the question was not answered. We won't know for sure until he shows up on a program. The Bad Apple, Brian Keith is no more. He is back to being the bounty hunter. There's no learning tree in AEW. So there's a lot of mixed signals going in a lot of different directions. But you are thinking Chris Jericho at the Royal Rumble.
I am.
Right. I think I am too. I think he's one of those that the Saudi Arabia Royal Rumble, Riyadh season, you're going to have a big name come back. You're not going to debut everyone right before the Royal Rumble. Kind of reminds me of when Triple H came back. When Triple H came back from his big quad injury and you know, he became this big over babyface leading up to the Chris Jericho match at WrestleMania. It's like they didn't bring him back at the Royal Rumble. He debuted again or returned a week or two before the Royal Rumble on Raw just to come talk about how he was coming back and make sure the crowd cheered him. Kind of reminds me of what they're not going to do with Jericho. He is not coming back early to talk about the Royal Rumble.
He's showing that night. He's a big enough star, and in terms of that Saudi audience, which always kind of loves the flashback guys, that'll get a monster pop in Saudi Arabia. Will. That's
and
all he needs.
And he's done this. He's had matches in Saudi Arabia as part of WWE and had the big returns too.
That's right.
So Chris Jericho, I expect him back as well. You already talked about this a little bit. Logan Paul announced that he has a new contract. He kind of just meshed really well into being a full-timer. I mean, this guy's been on TV every week for the last 1 or 2 months now. And it didn't even dawn on me till I saw this this announcement that he had re-signed that, like, oh yeah, this guy who had only been on TV for a few weeks every 3 months or so has been on every week. He's a part of the vision. He's going to get a big match at WrestleMania most likely. He's probably going to be booked on the Royal Rumble. Some singles matches coming his way. And in preparation for this, I mean, Logan Paul is huge now. Like, he looks like if he puts on just a few more pounds, he could look exactly like Brock Lesnar. And then I was thinking, Logan Paul at 50 years old, just bringing back the spirit of grizzled Brock Lesnar coming back here. Like, Paul, you have 20 years to work towards that moment. But Logan Paul is a full timer. And Liv Morgan coming out saying that her time away from WWE because of injury. She had the arrest within the last year. She's had the injury issues that she had a really hard time mentally leading up to this return to WWE. She did an interview with Stephanie McMahon on her podcast recently. The WWE podcasts. What are your thoughts on the Cody Rhodes podcast, the Stephanie McMahon podcast? What are your thoughts on Liv Morgan telling this story about her mental issues that she's been overcoming? Because a lot of people always think, you know, these physical injuries, it's 4 to 6 weeks. They got to come back. It's like, there's a lot of toll it takes when someone's on the road week in and week out, and then suddenly is just home with nothing to do.
Yeah. And there's a lot of show business stuff where it's like, do I come back? Am I going to be the same star I was before I left? Am I going to be the same athlete?
Did Roxanne straight up take my job?
Yeah. The Wally Pipp thing with Lou Gehrig, you know, okay, let me backtrack real quick, and I'll get to your question. Logan Paul is like top two or three heel for me in wrestling. I love that dude. Terrible human
He's
being.
A natural.
Great
He's
heel.
A natural.
Yeah. The WWE podcast in and of themselves, I find the Stephanie one worthless, to be honest with you. I find it very controlled and whatnot. I don't listen to any of them fully, but the Cody one is the one I like the most because they seem to be able to just get away from heavily controlled talking points and talk like real actual human beings at times. Yeah. And they act, you know, they show a little ass here and there. They say things that they really think at times. The clips that I've seen from it, it's the most enjoyable to me.
Well, it's the most clip worthy too. Like, yes, you're definitely seeing the most clips from that one. You're not seeing as many from the Undertaker podcast as much these days. You're not seeing as many from the Stephanie podcast. I think they all have a place. Like, if you want to get somewhat intimate conversations about, like, Liv Morgan, for example, if you want to hear about the injury and some of the softer side of, you know, what it really takes to come back. And the more in-depth side of what it takes to come back is like Stephanie McMahon seems like the one to be able to ask that more than a Cody Rhodes. So.
The Stephanie one is entirely dependent on the guest and how guarded they are about actually sharing real stuff as opposed to just, you know, the straight up, oh yeah, this was always my dream. And, you know, just moving on from there because, you know, there's nothing really to talk about there, but Cody's also involves alcohol, which makes it a lot more fun at times.
I tell you what, the Kevin Owens one, with all the clips that were generated from Kevin Owens being on the Cody Rhodes podcast, that's where we got the hilarious story about Matt Cardona, or the hilarious clip. You know, for a guy who loves being on the indies, he sure does talk about coming back to WWE a lot. As Matt Cardona has also returned since we last spoke. Matt Cardona is now on the SmackDown roster. I think the podcasts have a place. They are definitely controlling the superstar's time. Like, if you are going to go do a podcast, some of them squeak through and get the Chris Van Vliet and the you know, some of the third party shows that are out there. But most of them, you're appearing on one of three shows. You're appearing on Stephanie, Undertaker, or Cody when we want to get your story out there.
I liked the way they did the Zack Ryder to Matt Cardona thing, much like the Prince Devitt to Finn Balor in NXT. although I believe it was, who was it? It was Corey, who's like, wasn't he just Zack Ryder last week? And you're just like, oh, come on, man. Don't do that to us. You know, do you think he should have reverted back to Zack Ryder permanently, or do more people know him as Cardona, you think?
I don't.
That's the weird thing for me.
More people do not think of him as Matt Cardona.
Yeah.
Zack Ryder is the bigger thing. But if you want to present him differently, if this is a guy that's going to be in the U.S. title picture taken seriously, then yeah, have him come back presented in a different way and include the Matt Cardona name.
Now, instead of being the woo-woo guy, you now actually are serious.
Right. But that's the issue that might come up, right? Is Matt Cardona going to present himself more like Zack Ryder did, or is he going to present himself as Matt Cardona the way he has on the indies? It's a little bit up to him how he presents himself. We didn't get an answer to that in the first match. We'll have to see how week in and week out this goes. But yeah, he got the win, facing off against Kit there. So is he going to get a U.S. title? Is he going to go in the U.S. title picture immediately? Is he going to be in any type of picture? SmackDown being at 3 hours kind of leaves opportunities there a little bit open. I could also see Matt Cardona facing off against one of these new NXT call-ups coming up as well.
He seems to be the kind of guy you could feed to Trick Williams. That'll be fine.
Yeah, sure. And people will take Trick Williams more seriously because I think Matt Cardona has a little bit of edge to him coming up here. We have some breaking news going back to the TNA wrestling debut on AMC. Breaking news. We have a celebrity appearance that has been confirmed for the debut episode. Now, honestly, I thought this person was not with us anymore. I'm surprised. Maybe it's a good thing. I honestly have not heard this name in a decade. So I thought they were no longer with us. Perez Hilton is going to appear on TNA Impact's AMC debut. First reaction, Jeff, is you sigh and put your head in your hand.
You're calling that a celebrity. Okay.
I mean, it's what else would it be?
That's true.
It's one of those things where we do fair play.
No, yes, you're absolutely right. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, when we start to get into like double digit seasons of blank with the stars, and the stars seem to be more and more less famous. Yeah, Perez Hilton, former gossip mongering internet guy. I could see him being an on-screen character.
I'm wondering if Perez Hilton would even be big enough to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Now? I mean,
yes. Now, if you would put him on Dancing with the Stars and say at least
me personally, I wouldn't put him anywhere, but if you're saying, does he have enough star power given the number of faded people they've put on this show as we start to get long in the tooth? Yes.
Yeah. Looks like, if you're a big fan of Layla Gray, I mean, this is news from when we kind of did our last show. She is going to be out for a year with a torn ACL.
Knew that.
And so it looks like we have a replacement for her in the ROH stable with Christopher Daniels, Zeta Steel. Now, I do not know Zeta Steel is.
I vaguely do, but I do have a soft spot for Layla Gray because she came out here to LA and trained in the New Japan Dojo when nobody was watching. And she's, you know, she does the bodybuilding thing too, which, you know, she'll still be able to do. But she was one of those people who got a few chances and then started to grind even she was in Ohio Valley at the same time she was working AEW. I mean, she's one of those people who's like, I'll work anywhere to get better. Send me out there, Tony. And as opposed to some people who just have the one contract. So, I mean, I hope she can come back. But Zeta Steele, from what I've seen, I haven't seen that much of her. But, you know, she's pretty good. So, yeah, that's cool with me. This stable is death, though. So if you
ROH kind of death right now?
Well, the ROH people, well, yes, ROH is on its own island. And then when they bring them to AEW, you know, red shirts from Star Trek. That's what they are. So,
yeah, I don't think
Top
the ROH,
Flight, Christopher Daniels.
I still cannot believe
Scorpio that, Sky.
I cannot believe that ROH is still a thing, to be honest. It's like you can use all the video library, which they really haven't done outside of, you know, selling the monthly subscription service. But I don't think there's a reason to have ROH exist at this point.
It's ridiculous.
Can someone tell me the business reason? Can WrestleNomics, can Brandon Thurston tell me a business reason why it makes sense to keep ROH going? Anyone out there, at Rob from Indiana on Twitter, now known as X, let me know why. Why ROH even needs to exist?
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.